I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Well, hello. Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bayer, and it is Tuesday, January 16th, 2024, and this is our 376th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talent in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is an outstanding executive chef and restaurateur who has an essential restaurant on Manhattan's Upper West Side, where we are on location today, and I will introduce him fully in a moment. For my regular listeners, just to note, I am rescheduling my show with JP and Elliot Park, the husband and wife team and owners of Neon Hospitality, which includes Automix. We were planning for the beginning of this year, and due to some travel, we are going to find another date. So stay tuned for that. And today, as I do on every show, I will start out with my PR tip, and then later we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to be essential. Let's live our lives with meaning and purpose, and make it known through our words and actions that we are indispensable assets to the world. Let's lead by example and showcase qualities that are admirable and will earn respect, always acting with dignity and pride. We are all unique individuals with something to offer, so let's get in the game and show our value and worth, as essentially, we are all essential, and that's essential. That's my tip today. Okay, so I'm so excited to be on location. I love my on-location shows. And today I am on the Upper West Side, and I am with Christoph Blanca. He's the executive chef and owner of Essential by Christoph, his Michelin-starred debut restaurant on New York City's Upper West Side, where he's embraced an a la carte menu inspired by his classical French training, serving dishes he loves to cook, eat, and share with others. Before opening Essential by Christoph, Christoph worked in some of the world's most prestigious restaurants over his distinguished career, including as the culinary director for Joël Robuchon USA, overseeing the teams at L'Atelier de Joël Robuchon in New York and Miami, and Le Club in New York. He was responsible for carrying on Chef Robuchon's legacy after his passing while moving the restaurants forward and mentoring the next generation of culinary talent. And there's a lot more in his bio, but I'm going to let him tell his story. Without further ado, hi, Christoph. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon. It is so lovely to be here. And I mean, I have to say, we're at my table.
Yes.
This is like, I don't know if my name is somewhere in the back cushion, but this is where I sat when I came in for a fantastic solo dining experience. So
thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat and hear your story. So why don't you take us back a bit to how you got into the industry? Like, when did you know you wanted to be a chef?
Okay, so when I start to cook when I was 14 years old, And so I did l'école hôtelière of Tel Hermitage in a Drôme area in France. After that, I start to cook as a professional chef in a restaurant when I was 16 and a half years old, restaurant La Mervité in Lyon.
In Lyon,
yeah. It was the brasserie open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, nice. I've been to Lyon once.
Yeah?
Yeah, lovely.
It was fantastic to work on this type of restaurant just after the school. And, I mean, I learned a lot. I stayed over there for a little bit more than 2 years. So for me, it was very nice. After that, I did the army. And after that, I start to work on a Michelin star restaurant because I want to learn from this type of restaurant. So I stay probably 2 years. I worked 2 years for Georges Blanc in Vonnas.
Nice.
3 Michelin star.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, at this period, when you start with Mr. Blanc, after 2 years, Mr. Blanc help you to go somewhere else. So after that, I was at La Pyramide, 2 Michelin star in Vienne for 2.5 years, I believe, yeah. After that, I moved to Geneva, work on 2 Michelin star, Le Domaine de Châteauvieux. Same thing, 2.5 years, 3 years. After that, go back to France, work at Régis Marcon, 3 Michelin star. And for 3 years or so. And after that, I was sous chef for Anne-Sophie Pic in Valence.
Yes, I know. Michelin I know star. These names. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
3 Michelin star for 7 years. I believe I stayed with her for 7 years, and we're still very good friends. I'm still very good friends with all the people that I worked for in the past, of course, and still in touch with everybody. But with Anne-Sophie was very interesting experience because it was the first woman chef I worked for, and she had the unbelievable sensibility. She has the very different way to see how to cook. And for me, it was like exceptional experience. And I decide after 7 years to take a chef position and to do my own food, to find my my style, which is very difficult to find your own style when you work for so many years for so many chefs. And of course, so I find a restaurant in Los Angeles, L'Orangerie in Los Angeles, was
yes.
one of the more famous restaurants, French restaurant in Los Angeles. So the owner, Mr. and Madame Ferry, give me like, I can call the white card, like I can do my own food. So I was 32 years old. So basically I came in America when I was 32 years old in 2004, basically. And I start to do my own food. I create my own menu. So it was a fantastic experience.
Did you feel moving to the U.S. would give you that opportunity to do your own food, or you just were ready for a change? Like, why come to the U.S.?
Why come to the U.S.? Honestly, all my life was, I never calculate anything. It was one day I received a phone call from the chef owner of La Pyramide, knows the owner of L'Orangerie, and asked me if I will be interested to move in Los Angeles to be a chef at L'Orangerie.
Okay, so it was an opportunity came your way.
It was just this opportunity. And I say, why not? I spoke with Anne-Sophie Pic. And I mean, it took me 6 months basically to decide. So I don't take the position in 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So I moved in LA 2004, I believe, October 2004. And L'Orangerie, so I stayed 2.5 years at L'Orangerie, and L'Orangerie closed after 27 years.
Wow.
The owner sold the building and so sold the restaurant. And I was always in touch with Thomas Keller because I met Thomas Keller in Valence long time ago when he wanted to set up his kitchen at Percé. He came in Valence to see the way we set up our kitchen, like the equipment. So we always stay in touch with Thomas. I always stay in touch with Thomas. He invited me to the French Laundry for the weekend. So he's one of the very good friends. And Thomas called me, knows L'Orangerie will be closed, and asked me if I want to move in New York. I say, oh, why not? Why? And he proposed me the position to be the executive chef at Le Cirque at this time. when Sirio was there.
Right.
When
Sirio
Marcini and the song was there.
I've been in New York since 98, so I know a little of the history of that here. And so, okay, continue on.
So Le Cirque was the big deal, was the beautiful restaurant. Daniel Boulud was the chef on the pass. So, I mean, the clientele. And why I say yes, because the clientele at Le Cirque match the clientele at L'Orangerie. We are the same clientele.
Mm-hmm.
Same clientele, same type of clientele.
Right.
And of course, Sirio, I did like 2-3 testing and my food match with the restaurant also and with the customer. So for me, it was the big challenge at this time because my English was very bad. After 2 years in Los Angeles, all the team in LA was French, so my English was so-so. So I moved in New York, and in New York, Le Cirque was a big restaurant, open lunch, dinner, 6 days a week, busy all the time. So for me, was challenging on the beginning. And but I had a beautiful relation with Sirio. I tried to listen what he wants, because Sirio was one of the legend restaurateurs in America. So after 1 year, we get lucky. We get the beautiful review on the New York Times from Frank Bruni. He gave us 3 stars, New York Times. So, I mean, Le Cirque was a beautiful experience, basically. After that, I understand if I want to stay in America, I need to learn something different than just the fine dining. And I was lucky to meet Laurent Tourandel. At this time, Laurent Tourandel run BLT Group. And he opened all these steakhouse, burger place, fish restaurant, BLT Fish, BLT Prime, BLT Steak, BLT Burger.
Yeah, there were and, a lot of them.
And yeah. And it was time for me to learn something different than just the fine dining, because I don't want to have a sticker on the top of my head, just Christophe Bellanca knows how to do only fine dining. I want to learn how to open the restaurant. I want to open how to open the burger place, how to open the steakhouse. I mean, it's all interesting.
Right.
So Laurent Tourandel gave me this opportunity to work for him and to learn all this process, to learn how to open the burger place. I mean, it's not because you work on a 3 Michelin star, it's easy to open the burger place. You know, you need to be very humble. And so I learned all these things with Laurent Tourandel, because Laurent is a fantastic chef also. So I stayed 2.5 years, 3 years with him. And after, Joël Robuchon asked me to be the chef for him at the Four Seasons Hotel in New York when he had l'atelier Joël Robuchon at the Four Seasons. So
amazing resume.
Yeah. It was the opportunity. I cannot, work for the best chef in the world. And for me, I know Mr. Robuchon from 1986, from JAMA. I mean, he's a legend chef. And for me to represent this legend in New York was unbelievable. So I take the position, and so we had l'atelier Joël Robuchon at the Four Seasons, and of course, close after I don't know how many years, after that I continue to work for Mr. Robuchon, but not in New York because we don't have the restaurant in New York. It takes us 5 years to open the new l'atelier Joël Robuchon in New York. So for 5 years I was with Mr. Robuchon. I mean, 1 week in Vegas, 1 week in Macau, 1 week in Hong Kong, 1 week in Paris, 1 week in Bordeaux, in Monte Carlo. So I travel with him.
Amazing.
And on the same time, we prep the new opening in New York.
Yeah.
So finally, 2017, I believe, we reopened l'atelier Joël Robuchon in New York. And Mr. Robuchon was there. And unfortunately, 6 months after the opening, Mr. Robuchon passed.
Yeah.
So, and we all know people look at us more because when the chef like this passed, they want to see if we can keep the quality, of course. So we worked very, very hard. And after 12 months, the Michelin gave us 2 Michelin stars at l'atelier Joël Robuchon New York and 1 Michelin star at Le Grill Joël Robuchon New York.
It's amazing.
So it was a beautiful accomplishment and for Mr. Robuchon, and also because he was not with us anymore, but for us it was very important to accomplish that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I did dine there more than once, the New York one. Beautiful restaurant. But that is a huge accomplishment. And just, I just wanted to go back a second, just with Thomas Keller, yeah. did he just refer you yeah. to Le Cirque? Okay, yeah. that's what it was. So, and I've met Thomas before. I don't know him as well as you, but I had him on my show when he had the tech room. We did an interview like this.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful chatting with him. But yeah, so it was a referral from him. Yeah. Okay.
Thomas is a gentleman. When I need to make some decision, usually I ask him his opinion.
Yeah. Well, it's a good person to get an opinion from.
And, you know, in New York, I'm very close with Eric Ripper also.
Another good person.
Yes, yes. I mean, look, and something I forget to say, but when I arrive in New York, when I take the position at Le Cirque, the chef called me and invite me to take a coffee to welcome me in New York was Eric Ripper. So he's a gentleman.
You're in good company.
He welcomed me in New York. He gave me a lot of advice. He gave me a lot of very good phone number for the provider. Which is doesn't need to, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
So he opened his heart to me. And I will never forget that. And we're still in touch. He come here like 3 or 4 times already. And we spoke about, not just about cooking, we spoke about many different things, you know? Yeah. So Eric is one of the important guys for me in America, and Thomas Keller also. Yes.
Yes, yes. They're both legendary chefs who've there's a reason they're at the level they're at, and
yes.
and with you same, like your experience, your background, the places you've worked in, and I mean the amount of Michelin stars is pretty incredible.
Yes.
When did you get the inkling that you wanted to open your own place? Was it something maybe that you thought of like a long time ago, that one day I will eventually have my own restaurant, or is sort of more recently?
No. when probably 10 years ago, I take a coffee with Alain Ducasse at Benoit. Alain Ducasse was in New York. And we take a coffee together at Benoit, the bar. And we spoke about cooking. We spoke about what's happened now. And after 1 hour or 2 hours, I don't remember, we take a coffee. And I say, I love the name Essential because couple times in a discussion, we spoke about what is essential about cooking. And I say, I love the name Essential. And right here, I protect the name. I say, if one day I open the restaurant, I will call this restaurant Essential. And after years and years and years and years, I work for Mr. Robuchon. And to be honest, if Mr. Robuchon will be on live today,
yeah.
I will probably still work for him.
Yeah.
In New York or somewhere else. I will probably still work for him. But he's no more here.
Right.
COVID happened at L'Atelier.
Mm-hmm.
COVID happened. Mr. Robuchon is no more here. We never reopened L'Atelier, which I love the space. And, I mean, this location, somehow one of the customers at L'Atelier love what we do at L'Atelier. And I have a very good feeling with this person and ask me if I want to open my restaurant in New York. I say, why not? So we see this location, and good thing I don't listen what people say, because people say, oh, Upper West Side is difficult. Blah, blah, blah. But in the end of the day, I love the space. I love Upper West Side. And I analyze who live in Upper West Side. And I say, maybe it would be good to open the restaurant here to be for the neighbor and also destination.
Yeah.
And because I want to be affordable, I want to cook for everybody, you know. For many, many years, I cook and for different type of people, but, you know, you need to spend a lot of money to go to the restaurant I used to work for before. But here, I want to be affordable. I want people to have a good experience and to be also very reasonable over the price. So we see this location, and me and my partner, we love the location, we love the space, and we decide to do it, you know? I have only one partner.
Yeah, who's Adrian, right? Or no?
No,
okay.
He's not Adrian. No, he's a financial partner.
Yeah. Okay, you have a financial partner.
Yeah, silence partner.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, but, well, I'm throwing out his name. Adrian Falcon?
He's no more with us.
Oh, he's not with you anymore?
No.
Okay.
No. He's going to do his own thing.
Good to know. When I came for dinner, he was the manager.
Yeah, manager.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But Michelle, she's here now. Michelle, she's a GM now.
Yes.
With me, and I mean, we have a good relation, and yeah, that's it.
Wonderful. So I always say on this show, pronunciation isn't my strongest point, but I say essential, and the way you say it, it sounds so much sexier than
Frenchy.
Me.
But, you know, I can give you the, like, because I have doubt. You know, you have always, I always have a doubt to everything. I want to do better every day, food, blah, blah, blah. I have a doubt. And in my head, I have a doubt about the name, like a couple of months before we open. Because, you know, I spoke with some people, and oh, maybe the name is not. Uh-huh. And one day I take a coffee with Jean-Georges, which is an exceptional guy also.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric, Jean-Georges, Gabriel Kruger. I tell you why after. So I take a coffee with him. He says, Christophe, keep the first idea you have in your mind. Don't change anything. It's a fantastic name. So we call this one Essential by Christophe.
Yeah. I like the name and it's original.
Yeah.
And the way you say it is, yeah, as I said, sounds... a little nicer than when I do, but yeah, these chefs you're naming are all very accomplished, and a couple of them are in my book. I have a book out called Chefwise, and Eric Repair's in it, and John George is in it, and so I felt very honored to have these chefs collaborate with me.
You know what? When the COVID happened, this is where you see COVID happened. Everybody closed the restaurant, and of course, Eric called me just to see how I'm doing. Jean-Georges, Gabriel. Okay. And you know, I was just the chef at L'Atelier Jean Robuchon, but when you close, nobody knows what's going on, you know, when the COVID happened. And they all take time to call me, to take a coffee with me, what are you going to, Christophe, stay in New York, you know, because, you know, I have some opportunity to go back to Paris, to take care of a big palace in Paris. But Gabriel said, no, Christophe, we need you in New York, stay in New York, you know, and... So, yeah, and if I'm here today, it's because also the support of this chef. Not because they are French, because they are good person also, you know?
Yeah, I get that. It is. It's beyond being able to cook. It's your personality and who you are and your integrity and just being a good person. And, these chefs that you're friendly with who support you are those people which says to your credibility as well who you are.
Yeah. I don't have too many friends. But Laurent Tourandel is part, Jean-Georges, Gabriel, Eric, Daniel. You
it's know? About quality, not quantity.
Exactly.
But this space, I recall coming here when it was Dovetail. I think it was Leonti after that. It was you really changed it up. It's beautiful. It's modern, but very comfortable. It's light and you can describe it better than me. But even though I had been in the space before, I remember when I walked in, I was like, it's like a totally new, fresh restaurant, and I love the way it's set up.
So when we get the space, my question, I ask myself, how I will accomplish what I have in me, like inside. How I will put in this dining room. Not just about the food. The food was the easy part. But it was the new job for me. Contractor, architect, designer. And New York is very difficult to find the right contractor, right architect, right designer. And yes, Adrien Falcon was here at the time. And of very important help, huge help. I mean, he did a fantastic job also. I mean, he set up this restaurant. He still works with us a little bit, but he's going to open his own place.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to open his own place. It's going to be fantastic. He's going to be one of the... He worked on something very nice also.
Well, I met him when I was here, and I knew his background. He's been with, like, Balthazar, Keith McNally.
He's one of the most... before Balthazar, before everything, he's one of the best, I believe, in America and also in France, sommelier... He's the master, you know, on wine and you work on a beautiful project. Will be open, I hope, in 2024 for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. So, but before he do his own project, he helped me here.
Yeah.
So he helped me to set up this restaurant. because he knows a lot of things I don't know, and I know a lot of, so it was a good team. So he find for me the right architect, because he find for me the right contractor, right and honest also. And also my idea for the design, because I want to put what I love. I don't want to take the famous designer, because the famous designer design the way they want. So my friend was an interior designer. She do a lot of beautiful apartments in New York, Caroline. And I work with her every day. She listened to me a lot. And she put my vision in a dining room, basically. So I have decided, I see this table in Singapore with a letter on the top. So we find the way to do this in New York. So she designed with my desire, basically.
You have good taste.
Yeah. I mean, and she has a good taste also. She has a good taste, but it's a combination. Yeah. She proposed me a lot of different things, like the banquet. We changed 6 times the banquet before. I like the banquet. And Adria and I, we love Bruce Springsteen. So we put some beautiful picture of Bruce Springsteen, Rolling Stone. We designed the restaurant the way we love. And this is, no from famous designer. I have this vision, and the designer listened to my vision and accomplished probably better than what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, it's very, I would say it's elegant, but it's comfortable. It's lovely. I don't know. I might just make this my office for the rest of the day. Just stay here and wait for dinner service. Yeah.
And it's probably why people like to come back, because they feel, I call it essential also. Essential, because I want to remove what I don't like anymore. I want to remove the stuffy service. I want to remove the tablecloths. I want to remove all these things when I go to the restaurant I don't like anymore. After 36 years in the restaurant business, this is why I call this restaurant essential, because I just want to put what I love and I want to remove what I don't like anymore.
I love that. That's
this
great.
This is why I call essential. Yeah. On the design, on the service plan, Adrien did a fantastic job with Michel to set up this step of service. What is important, what is not important. I mean, when I go to the restaurant, I like when I have my bread. Not just with my meat or my fish. I like when I have my bread on the beginning of the dinner, you know. I like my butter. I like to sit down on the banquet. I don't like to have a server behind me every 2 seconds to ask me if it's good or no, you know. So we put everything I like and we remove everything I don't like anymore. So this is why we call it essential. And about the food is the same also, you know. I focus on the quality of ingredients, seasoning, execution, which is way more difficult than to mix 25 ingredients on one plate. So the name is not just the name of the restaurant, it's also the philosophy of the restaurant. You know, it's the way we run the restaurant also. We try to go to the what is essential. The way we treat the people also. The way we treat the people here, I mean, look, we have no turnover from day one. We opened for 14 months. We are like almost no turnover.
That says a lot. Yeah.
Almost no turnover. It's very important for us. I mean, I set up the restaurant where I will love to work. So, and it's very important. The human part for me is very important.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, restaurants, it's about the food, but it's about the ambiance and the service, the hospitality. It's about how people make you feel. The more I dine out, the more
atmosphere.
And just how like customer service or hospitality, the warmth of a staff and team, it makes such a difference, in my opinion. It's like the make or break of whether you really want to go back to this restaurant, how people make you feel, regardless if, the food is exceptional. But I think you need it all. So
hospitality is not on the menu, but this restaurant, the concept of this restaurant is good service, good food, and a lot of hospitality.
Yes, because I got that when I was here.
If I go to the restaurant, if I have a fantastic service, fantastic food, but no hospitality, very cold hospitality, I'm not sure I will come back. But if I have a fantastic hospitality, okay service and okay food, I will come back. But The goal here is to have a fantastic service, fantastic food, and unbelievable hospitality. And this is why also, I mean, we try to treat people like they come to our home. Like, every day I receive a text message. Tonight we have some customer, table of three. The guy has one of the guests. And, you know, I take all the leftover wood, the block, and we put the first name here. We put the first name on the wood.
Wow, that's a nice touch.
Yeah, yeah.
Go that extra mile. Yeah. I'm sure
tonight,
that makes people feel really special.
Yeah, because people come a couple times a month here.
Yeah.
And they have the first name on the wood where you put the spoon and they feel good, you know. And
yeah, that's lovely. It's really, that's special. Talk a little more about your menu some more, your cuisine, because when I came, I was here for the summer. You were doing a special summer tasting menu. Yeah. How often are you changing the menu? And are you doing a la carte and tasting menu or only a la carte?
No, now we turn this restaurant as like a prefix. We have like three options, but people create their own menu basically. If they want to take three courses, four courses, seven courses, they create.
I like that.
Because
everyone's appetite's a little different or how much food they want and their preferences. Yeah.
The last thing I want to create here is the tasting menu restaurant. I don't want that. I don't want, you sit down, you have your eight courses, you have my expert, my tasting menu. No. When people sit down, because I don't like that anymore. When people sit down, they want to take two courses, no problem. They want to take three courses, no problem. Four courses, no problem. 10 courses also, no problem. If you sit down here, you want to have the burger from the bar, 99% of the time, I'm going to say yes.
I wouldn't have your burger. I haven't had that yet.
Yeah. If you want to have the penne lobster pasta from the bar, if you have the kids on the table, I will say yes. But people sit down on the bar also. If you want to have, if they want to have a tasting menu, no problem. Two courses, no problem. So I like flexibility. And you know why I learned flexibility when I was at the Cirque. Because Sirio understand flexibility. Mm-hmm. If I act in America the way I used to act in France in 2000, no one will come on this restaurant. In America, and I think 2023-24, you need to be flexible. You need to do what the people want also. People want to have a venaison well done. I will do it if this is what they want. You know, I recommend the opposite, but you know, I'm here for the customer,
right.
Basically. I'm here for the customer. So the way I create the menu, first I work on a protein. Like, we do also a lot of vegetable here, but the high quality of the main ingredient. High quality of the main ingredient. And after every dish, we have a special sauce. We work a lot on the sauce. The sauce for me is very important. Quality of the protein, the fish or the meat or the vegetable, and the sauce. Because the sauce will make the dish together. Like and here is one of the focus is the sauce. Yes. And also the vegetable, the garnish. But the quality of the ingredient is the most important.
You also have beautiful presentations. Yeah.
It's a sensibility
after. This is the ultimate experience for dining.
It's a sensibility. You know, I try to show my sensibility on every plate we put out. Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you finding it? How do you enjoy being the owner and the chef versus just being the chef?
I mean, of course, we have more responsibility. We live by example. So, you know, I'm here every day before everybody and I'm living after.
You're probably
everybody.
Doing that before.
Yes, probably also.
Yeah. But it seems like you're at the place you should be or want to be. And it's amazing like that you have this fantastic resume of places you've worked over your career. And now you've put all the essential elements into your own place. But I think it is different having that responsibility of management versus, responsible for the food, even though I know you were very high level at the restaurants you were working with.
But you know, in 20 years in New York, we, like I include all the chefs I spoke before, we saw a lot of people come in New York and want to show New York what they do and want to be a chef in New York. But all these people disappear quickly. To be a chef in New York, to stay here for 20 years is not easy.
No.
After that, to open your own restaurant is not easy. So,
no, it's so, not. It's extremely hard.
A lot of competition, a lot of pressure also from the journalists, from the customer, from competition. So, yeah, to accomplish that is, yes, it's nice. It's nice. But I always look the future. I never look what I did on the past. So every day we try to do better and better and better and better and better. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah.
To improve the quality of food, to improve the hospitality, to improve everything. So, yeah.
So before we take a break, I have two more questions. One is just how important are accolades or awards to you, like getting Michelin star? Is that something, is a goal, or is it more you just do your job, you know that when you do the best you're going to do, you might receive recognition? Or are you going for, like, I want to be a Michelin star restaurant, if you get that question?
Yeah. You know? I get. I think the more important for me is to be honest with my staff, to be honest with my customer, to come here every day and to do what we do the best we can. And we do this for 14 months now. And of course, after 10 months, the Michelin gave us one star Michelin. So it was a beautiful accomplishment.
Yes, congratulations.
For the whole team. And it make people feel good when you get some award like this. We don't come here every day to run after the Michelin, or to run after the New York Times, or to run after. We don't come here every day. We come here every day to make customers happy and to make staff happy also. I want the people who work here be happy, and I want the customer be happy. If all this award come, it's fantastic.
Yes.
Today, to have a postcard with you, it's fantastic. It's recognition also from you. And that's it. You know, I mean, honestly, we don't run after all these things. We just want to make the people happy.
Yeah.
And this is all natural. And all this award will come in the future. But we just need to be patient and to do the job with honesty. That's it.
Yes, I love that. Okay, and my final question before a break is, what's your top advice for inspiring young cooks or people who might want to be a chef? Because, yeah, I have this book out, Chefwise, about chef advice. So I want to know, like, what's your number one chef advice?
I mean, I'm going to tell you what I say in Montreal a couple of years ago to all the students. Never stop to be curious. Never stop to be curious. Because if you're not curious, you go nowhere. And of course, on the restaurant, kitchen, restaurant industry, you need to love this industry. Because if you don't love this industry, you're going to be miserable for all your life.
Yes, and that's something I've heard many times, and I think it makes sense and it's true. Yeah, you got to love it. To do it, be passionate about it.
What makes me feel good after many hours a week, almost 100 hours a week, to see my guest happy in the end of the night, to spoke with them in the dining room, to see them happy, to make sure they have a beautiful evening. This one makes me happy, and the staff, to see the staff happy, enjoy to work here, make me happy. And these two things remove all the hour we do, basically. I work in the kitchen for 36 years now, and yes, sometimes it's difficult, but I love what I do, like from the day one. I'm still love what I do now.
Yeah, no, I can tell. 1988
to 2024.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. A lot of sacrifice, yes, but nothing is perfect in life, you know?
Yeah. But yes, on that note, let's take a little break and we'll come back. We'll play my speed round, talk some industry news and my solo dining experience and the final question. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills combined with the freshest milk available created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheesemaking craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bayer, and my guest today is Christoph Blanca. He's the executive chef and owner of Michelin-starred Essential by Christoph, which is his debut restaurant on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, where we were on location. Okay, so Christoph, it's time for my speed round. This is a game. Speed round game. So what this is I'm going to name a couple of things, and you get to pick your preference, such as chocolate or vanilla.
Okay.
Here we go. Eat in at home or eat out at a restaurant? Indoor dining or al fresco dining?
I don't understand.
Sitting indoors at a restaurant or sitting outside on a patio?
Depends on the weather.
Yeah. Yeah, this one I added to the game during the pandemic.
Okay. Depends on the weather, but if...
We only had the choice to eat outside. Yeah. I would agree with you on that. Okay. Wine, beer, cocktail, mocktail, or champagne?
Mocktail first, champagne after.
Okay, nice. Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Medium plate.
Medium plates.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone said that. Maybe one person at some point. It's always this game. I've been playing it now for a while, but it's always original every time. Okay. Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef counter.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping.
Having an open kitchen to work in or a closed kitchen?
I love open kitchen. I mean, at Robuchon, we have a beautiful open kitchen.
I remember that, yeah.
And I like open kitchen? Because I like the connection with the guest. I like the connection with the customer. Yeah. And the open kitchen make you have the connection very easy with the customer.
Yeah.
Here at Essentiel, I mean, I did because the kitchen is downstairs because it was downstairs and that's it. But open kitchen to the dining room is always very good.
Nice. Yeah. And I love a chef's counter at an open kitchen. I mean, it's nice. But and it's so much more common now than it was back in the day.
I mean, Mr. Robuchon created this concept.
Give him credit.
Give him credit. Yeah.
Fabulous. Okay, a few more. Springsteen or Rolling Stones?
Springsteen.
Well, I had to give you one, like, easy one, like, super easy.
I'm a big fan.
I thought you were going to do that. I'm a big fan, too. I've seen him a couple of times in concert. Yeah. You've probably seen him more. Yeah. Okay, cheese plate or dessert?
Dessert.
Manhattan or Brooklyn?
Manhattan.
Ta-da, that's the game.
Thank you.
That was fun. Okay, so for my industry news segment, I picked out a couple articles that are all about The Bear, the show on FX. winning lots of awards recently. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but the first article I have is the New York Times. The Bear wins Best Comedy at the Golden Globes. It stars Jeremy Allen White and Ayo Edebiri, also won for their acting roles. And this was by Alexis Solosky and Christopher Kuo. And that came out on the 7th of January. And that was the Golden Globes, which aired that night. It was the 81st annual ceremony of that. And then I have the Hollywood Reporter, Critics' Choice Awards. It went to Oppenheimer, Barbie, The Bear, Beef Win Big. And this was by Beatrice Verhoeven. And this was the 29th Critics' Choice Awards that was more recent. And The Bear won the Best Comedy. And actors Jeremy Allen White and Ayo Edebiri and Eben Mas Barak all took home acting prizes as well. And then the final one I have that just came out, USA Today, Emmy Winners List, The Bear, Succession Win, and The Last of Us, Ted Lasso shut out by Edward Segarra. And this, The Bear got 6 awards, including the Best Comedy. So are you familiar with the show The Bear?
No, sorry.
Now you are a little more. So this is a show that came out on FX, and they moved the Emmys. The Emmys were supposed to be, I think, in September, but because of the writers and actors strike, they just had it last night. And I watched some of the acceptance speeches when I got home. But The Bear is this, it's a show. It's about chef who takes over his family's restaurant. Well, a chef who's working at a restaurant like 11 Madison Park. That is the one actually they use in the show. And goes home. His brother has passed and he's left with the restaurant. And he's taking over this. It's like the original beef of Chicagoland. So it's sandwich shop. And it's the story of him taking over this restaurant and about family and about team. And it's really well done. It's winning a lot of awards, which shows that. So I don't know your take at all on like TV shows or movies that have shown restaurants, or have you watched, or do you have any opinion of?
The first, I think the when I came in America, what I watched on the TV was Emeril.
Yeah.
Emeril.
Bam.
Bam, bam. And I used to love to watch Emeril, and I used to love to watch Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
You know, with the car.
Yeah, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
That's it. So this is the only two shows I used to watch. Now, I don't have time to watch TV anymore. But the funny part is I meet Emeril many times and come a lot at L'Atelier. And was interesting for me to meet this legend also. And
yeah.
Guy Fieri also, I meet him one time in California. So what was very interesting and new for me when I came in America to watch this type of TV show is because in France doesn't exist at this time. So, but no, now I don't follow all this. I don't follow all this celebrity chef, TV show. I have my own concept of TV show. Maybe one day we can talk about that. But
okay, well,
maybe.
I mean, I wanted to talk about this because, well, I don't watch that much TV, but I did watch, it's now season 1 and 2 are out, and it's really well done. Maddie Matheson, who's a chef who has restaurants in Toronto, he's an executive producer behind it, and the creator, Christopher Storer, his sister, Courtney Storer, has been working as culinary producer. And I actually met her in LA when I was there for the LA Chef Conference a few months ago and did a little interview on episode 374, if anyone wants to go back and hear my conversation with Courtney. Because between Courtney and Maddie, they're really the people who, their restaurant experience, they brought it to this TV show to make the filming of working in a restaurant and being a chef as real as possible. And from the take I've gotten from people I know in the industry and even my own is it's really well done, and it does portray, I mean, of course you can criticize things and it's still TV, but it is really well done. It's intense and these actors are incredible. And Maddie gave this amazing speech last night. I saw that part and he thanked restaurants and he thanked the industry. And at the end, he screamed, "Restaurants forever." He's got a big personality.
I would look.
So I think it's a big thing for our industry. I'm so all in the hospitality industry like you are.
Yeah.
But people who maybe aren't as familiar with what it's like to be a chef or restaurant, and I think it's opening their eyes into like what it takes to be a chef and how hard it is. And so I think it's a big deal for The Bear, and I think it's a big deal for the hospitality industry to be recognized by all these awards, and there's probably going to be more. So,
I mean, when you see the TV show now, I think they, all the top chef, all these things, they give the wrong. I think they give the wrong view to be a chef. You know, like.
Well, Top Chef, I think, has done, you know, changed our industry in wonderful ways, or just brought, you know, attention to chefs. But I think one thing with some of these shows, like, it's like people think you're going to go on the show, or maybe you go on the show to become famous or to open your own restaurant, and they're not, like, you have so much experience, and some people going on shows now opening restaurants.
Yeah, they want to be famous before they want to be chef. I think to be a chef, you need years and years and years, and you need to learn every day. Like, I'm 51 years old, I'm still learning every day, every day, every day. People want to be famous before they want to be a good chef, you know? And I think there's a lot of work behind that.
Yeah.
It's not just to be on the TV and 24 years old, you're the chef, and da, 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 da. So I'm not very comfortable with this because I think they give the wrong perception to be a chef. But I mean, some of the young guys, they're very good also. So, and it's good. Wow. It's good for the industry because they make us more visible, you know. So all the shows are good, but I'm going to look the show you recommend.
Yeah, I've like binge watched it. It's a series. There's two seasons now. So yeah, I think it's worth checking out, and I'm just happy, you know, congratulations to them, and we'll see what season three brings. And yeah, the lead actor, who's Jeremy Allen White, is also in this amazing campaign now with Calvin Klein. Like, he's all over billboards and everywhere, and he's if you're on social media, like last week, I think it was all over my feed. He looks really good. Anyways, congratulations to them. And that's the bear. Okay, so it's time for my solo dining experience. So this week is at Automix. So here's the rundown. The location, 104 East 30th Street, New York, New York. The concept, new Korean cuisine. Otto, stemming from the ancient Korean word for gift, showcasing innovative cuisine with New York as its stage. Automix is the follow-up of Otto Boy, which came from the chef and owners, who are Chef Jung Young Park, or JP, and his wife, Elia Park. And they're a team together, a fabulous husband-wife team, and their restaurant group is Nyon Hospitality, which also includes Naro and Salon in New York City, all focused on Korean cuisine. JP also has a new cookbook out with my same publisher, Fiden, called The Korean Cookbook, and it's with his co-author is Jung-Yoon Choi, and I went to a launch party they did for the book at Naro, and I've been to all these restaurants of theirs as well. They're all awesome. So why'd I go? Well, I love JP and Elia. I was due to go back. I had been very early on to their restaurant when it opened in 2018. I sat downstairs and did their tasting menu, and I wanted to go back because I hadn't been in a while, and I wanted to experience the upstairs menu, which is their bar tasting. I hadn't had it before, and since JP and Elia were going to be coming on my podcast soon, I thought, oh, this is a good time to go. So my experience. I made a reservation for one at the bar tasting. It's upstairs. There's only 5 seats. It's very intimate. And there's 3 people running show. There's the R&D chef, Ruben Hernandez. And then there's the beverage director, who is Jason. I didn't get his last name. And there's another lovely woman running the hospitality. It's just a fantastic trio. So I arrived. I happened to sit next to a woman that I knew. And we're responding by email even that day, but we never met in person, and she was setting up a reservation for me at a restaurant that I'm going to mention later in the show. So that was really cool. I spontaneously ended up sitting next to someone I knew and her husband. There was another couple there, and basically we had this tasting menu all together because there's 5 of us, and I did the non-alcoholic pairing. Everyone else had the alcoholic pairing, but the way Jason did the beverages, he presented them all to us and then explained my variation, and it was fantastic, and the whole meal was fantastic. It was innovative dishes, beautifully presented. nice chatting with them. It was very comfortable, yet like the most refined, elegant service at the same time. And I also mentioned, you know, with hospitality, when I sat down, since I'd been there before, it was a little note card welcoming me back. It's just little touches that really make a difference. For the bar tasting, they're doing dishes that are exclusive to the bar tasting menu. They use the concepts or the technique then to create different dishes maybe on the downstairs menu, but this was unique to itself. So there were about 9 courses. Among them, I'll name a few. There was king crab with smoked trout roe, dubu cream, and it was paired with an AMA brewing drink from the Basque country in Spain. There was also Maine lobster, which had cabbage, foie gras, varicose sauce, and that was paired with a cold brew sajak. It had chungju reduction and pickled habanada. There was a wagyu short ribs dish that had abalone and sungyi mushroom, and that was paired with wild pear Hangdong province that was from South Korea. I apologize for my pronunciation of these dishes, but it was all excellent. And at the end, there was dessert, the black matcha ice cream, stroop waffle, and charcoal. And it was paired with oat milk, black matcha, and cocoa nib, and matcha cream. So it was absolutely fantastic. So that's my take. Beautiful presentations. Elia picks out the different bowls and plates and utensils that go with each dish, and they're beautiful. And the experience was lovely. The ambiance, so it's upstairs. It's a modern, simplistic space. As I said, it has 5 seats, comfortable chairs. Almost felt like you're in someone's bar or chef's counter in their home. Perfect for treating yourself to something special. Interesting tidbit. So Adamix is currently ranked number 8 on the world's 50 best restaurants, 2023. It also has 2 stars from the Michelin Guide and 3 stars from the New York Times. Personal fun fact. So JP is in my ChefWise book, and I'm super excited because he's doing a collaboration dinner tonight and tomorrow, actually. And it's with Ricardo Comanini, the head chef of Lido 84 at Gardone Riviera in Italy, which is number 7 on the world's 50 best list. And he's also in my book, and I haven't met him before. I haven't had his food before. So I'm excited to go to that. And the cost of my meal for my solo dining experience with the bar tasting was $270. That's not including tax. And there was a $5 booking fee. Would I go back? Yes, of course. There's a reason that Adamix has been on all these lists. So their website is AdamixNYC.com and Instagram is at AdamixNYC. So there you go. Christoph, have you been to Adamix or do you know JP and Elia?
I never been there, but I believe they was here 2 times.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
They're, my opinion, good. Good, good people. Yeah. Not even my opinion. They're just good people.
2024, I will have more time to go out because the first year was crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, you got to go to Adamix. You got to watch TV, watch the bear. I'm like giving you recreational things to do.
I need to spend more time with my family also. First.
And that too. Yeah. Not enough hours in the day. Okay, so it's time for the final question. So my next guest is chef and restaurateur Angelo Sosa of Cambara Restaurant at the award-winning luxury JW Marriott Phoenix Desert Ridge Resort and Spa in Phoenix, Arizona. As I alluded to in my solo dining experience, I was sitting next to his publicist at Adamix, Emily, and I'm going to be going out to Phoenix to interview Angelo and go to his restaurant. He at this restaurant is pulling inspiration from Chiang Mai to Tokyo to Penang and his travels around the world. He worked in New York for a bit too, has a lot of restaurant experience. So, Christoph, can you please ask a question for Angelo? Any question, chef to chef?
You would like to open a restaurant in New York one day?
Okay. I'll find out.
That's it.
Okay. I'm trying to think, like, he's been here, but I don't know if they were, if he was the owner. He might have been, but we'll see if he'll be coming back and doing that. Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on all you've accomplished. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I look forward to all the wonderful things you do in the future and coming back, because I'm pretty close. I'm almost in your neighborhood. I'm kind of like a neighborhood away. I'm pretty close.
Okay.
I'm by Columbus Circle. So you're Upper West Side.
Okay.
We're neighbors. I need to come back more.
No problem. You're welcome all the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Christoph Belanca, the executive chef and owner of Michelin-starred Essential by Christoph, his debut restaurant on the Upper West Side in Manhattan. His website is essentialbychristoph.com. His Instagram is at Christoph_Belanca, and the restaurant is at Essential by Christoph. My Instagram is at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, and at All Industry. My Facebook page is All in the Industry. My websites are BayerPublicRelations.com, SherryBayer.com, and AllInTheIndustry.com. All of our shows are archived at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We are also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Check out my new book, Chefwise, Life Lessons from Leading Chefs Around the World by Fiden, now available wherever books are sold. Thanks to my engineer today, Armin. Thanks again to Christoph and his awesome publicist, Pipa, of Becca PR. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bayer. I will be back with a new show next week. Till then, stay safe and well, and thank you, as always, for being part of All in the Industry. Bye. All in the Industry is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.